Hi, Jesse. How are you doing today?
I'm well. I'm excited to be here talking to you.
Awesome. Same here. You know, I'm very excited to talk to you. It's actually going to be my first video on YouTube. So, and then I have been, you know, constantly putting content on LinkedIn, but I'm very excited to add this in my social media channels that I'm going to start a YouTube channel now, which is interesting. So, you know, without further ado, what I was thinking is we can quickly introduce ourselves. And, you know, you can tell us about yourself, who you are, you know, how long you have been doing what you have been doing, and how was your college life? Because what me and another co-founder, what we do is we represent a lot of Indian international students. And I would say, you know, the whole community of international students, and we connect with them, talk to them about their mental life, about their how they have been keeping up and how they've been living far from their families. So tell us a bit about how was your college life, and you know, any you had any international student who were your friends or you know your group mates, or were they in your class, and how different do you think the education system is now as from when you were in university or in college?
Yeah, for sure. So I started my undergrad, I went to SFU, and that was quite a few years back now. And I did a double joint major with psychology and women's studies. And at that point, like, I was really passionate. I really wanted to get my PhD done. And I thought this was just going to be a straight, you know, track. However, it wasn't. There was a lot that came up for me after around when I was finishing with family. There was a lot of pain. So there was an interruption.
Yeah, okay.
In my path.
And that's very usual, right? Everyone gets through it, right? So, yeah.
And so I, as a lot of students do, I started working.
Yeah.
And I actually was working in the food and beverage industry, as psychology students, a lot of us do, because we get to talk to people. It's a little bit of sales. However, then I started to get to a point where I'm like, this is not me. I'm not aligned. This is not my purpose. How I want to contribute to society. I don't want to be burgers and fries. Then I looked at BCC and they had some counseling courses. I'm like, well, before starting a master's, let's see if I actually like this. Is it for me? And around that time, I started volunteering. So I started volunteering with the Fraser Health Crisis Line. And any students out there, that's a great place to volunteer, because you get a lot of experience talking to people in crisis situations. They actually provide this great training as well. And then, you know, the references to get into grad school, it can be very helpful. So yeah, that's with the crisis line. And then I took some courses, and then I finally got into my master's program at Adler.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then now I'm working as a mental health practitioner.
That's
I'm a GP counselor, and I actually am still with the crisis line. I oversee volunteers doing calls.
That's awesome. No, thank you for your service. You know, I've seen your Instagram channel, and it's I believe the Instagram channel, the handle is the.wellness.dialogues.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I've seen great content, and it's very inspiring and it's motivating, specifically at this point of time where we are, you know, these are uncertain times and the world is going through a lot, and everyone is saying the world will never be same again, right? So definitely, I would highly recommend everyone to go to your channel and take a look at it. And it's awesome to see somebody, you know, from the community doing such good community work and, you know, representing us as well. So as you said, you've been, you know, mental health practitioner. Do you see a lot of international students from India or Brazil or China who are actually your clients now, or who come for counseling, or who come to see you for any guidance?
Yeah, I have had several students throughout the years as I was, you know, going through my practicum work and now in counseling. And yeah, there is a lot of loneliness that we have with international students. And even as I was going through my degree, we had some international students, and, you know, going through a program, not knowing anyone else, that's your friends that you grew up with, and not having those deep connections, and entering these classrooms, having to make connections.
That's right.
It's another layer to add on.
I've been there. I've seen that. Yeah, it's tough. I'll add, you know, it's just not challenging at a academic level. It's very challenging at a mental and emotional level. You know, when you come from a very protected environment back from India, or I would say Brazil, the traditional values are very similar. I actually had a lot of Brazilian friends as well. So, you know, their parents raised them the same way like our parents, brown parents do. So, you know, you come from such protected environment and then suddenly you are in open sky. You don't just have to study, you have to work. Plus you have to do everything, you know, from laundry to kitchen work to everything, from cooking, taking care of yourself, which is definitely a good thing to learn when you are a kid. But, you know, I think with the culture and tradition we have been, you know, we have been raised with, I have seen that not a lot of international students from India get a chance to do it, or, you know, they tend to do it when they are in India, which becomes a problem. Of course, I'm one of the examples. So when I came to Canada, though I know cooking very well, I will cook rarely because I just don't feel like cooking. Because back in India, it's, you know, you have everything pre-prepared and then you just cook and then you leave everything on the shelves. I mean, I always tell my parents now that, you know, I wish you were a little strict about, you know, how to take care of the house or how to do my laundry or how to iron my shirt. And I did my MBA, so I used to wear a lot of suits, and I always had trouble, you know, going back to the dry cleaners, getting my shirt ironed and my suits ironed. So, you know, definitely it's just so much pressure. And then I think another thing which I've seen from the community is now people have, you know, they have been supporting their cousins and nephews who are coming from India. But I've also seen that a lot of majority does not, which can be painful, right? So because when you come to Canada, you get a support for, let's say, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then you're on your own. So, yeah.
Isolating from what you're telling me, and on top of that, that self-care, learning how to do all those essential things, mm-hmm. tiring, you're exhausted, I can imagine.
That's right. And you're not working back in India because there's no part-time jobs, right? So suddenly you... And I actually came after my BTEC, and I did my engineering, and then I worked for 4 years. I had my own food catering company, and then I came. So I've been working. I know how to take care of myself. The students who are coming now, they are in, you know, they come after grade 12. So they're hardly 16, 17 year old. They have never done any work. They are not sure how to, you know, cope up with two different things. One is work and one is school. So it definitely becomes very overwhelming. And I do get a chance to talk to a lot of people, and students have the same issue. They say it's overwhelming for them coming from India and then have never worked. Suddenly we are in an environment where it's all about go, go, go. And, you know, they never get a chance to relieve themselves from that pressure or give themselves that space, because even after their studies, then there's a pressure of work permit, because in that 2-3 years of work permit, you have to work 1 year straight, and then you have to apply for your permanent residency. And then there's a stress of permanent residency. And then once you're there, then you kind of be like, okay, I think I got there. But then by then you have already adopted so much of pressure on yourself from work and from your family, then other things, you know, kind of add on. You're 16, 17 when you come here. By 20, 21, 22, 23, you get your PR. And then by 26, 27, there's a pressure from the family. Why don't you get married? So I think it's just go, go, go. And then you want to buy a house, you want to buy a good car, you want to, you know, bring your family back from India. So I think you're right. And I'm sure your job becomes pretty hard as well when it comes to international students, right?
I hear all the pressures, and then it becomes self-pressure because you're on your own trying to do all of this. You're taking all of this in.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So So thank you. So my last question for the day would be, you know, how to cope up with the isolation during this quarantine time with coronavirus and COVID situation. What would you recommend? I remember we were talking about breathing last time we connected on phone. So how do you cope up with the isolation during these unprecedented times?
So if we take a step back and look at the anxiety in total, maybe first, because mm-hmm. it's a very anxious time. There's uncertainty mm-hmm. and grief. We're grieving what we thought our months were going to look like. Mm-hmm. Lot of anxiety that's coming through. And like you were speaking earlier, I really liked how you talked about that self-care piece. So I'd like to take a moment and just take it a step back to the basics, the foundation of wellness. What is that? Mm-hmm. What's going on with your sleep? So that's something that you want to check in with yourself. Are you able to get those 7 to 8 hours? If not, what is going on? Do you have the thoughts? Are they worries? Mm-hmm. It can be helpful to get out of the bed if you're not sleeping and okay. try to do something like the deep breathing that, why don't you tell us about your deep breathing that you do, the meditation?
Yeah, so I actually, I used to have the same issues, you know. I finished my MBA from Canada. I started working for a bank, and then from one job to other, I jumped up to a different job where I just started feeling that there was a lot of pressure internally. And one of the things I've seen that, you know, when you are at a position where you hardly see any international student, so you see a bit of a jealousy and a bit of a, I won't say hate, but a bit of a J factor, I would say, again, jealousy from a lot of people who have been in those roles, that how come somebody who came from India 3 years ago is suddenly sitting next to me?
And it's
very unfortunate to say that I have seen actually, you know, our own community, you know, doing that. So I remember I was going through this tough time, and I got a chance to connect with my girlfriend, and then she's like, hey, why don't you try counseling? So I went to see a counselor, and she told me about breathing, and I was still not taking it that seriously. So I came across a book which was written by a monk, and the name of the book is Happiness. So it's not a story, it's not a novel. It's actually a book that talks about how to be happy. And page one is actually about breathing. So one of the biggest pieces I've taken from that book is basically when you're anxious or when you are having tough time understanding what's happening around me, close your eyes and just breathe in and breathe out and focus on it. So when you're breathing in, you actually have to realize that there's air going through your nostrils and to your lungs. Mm. And then when you're exhaling, you have to know that it's actually going out. And it does wonders. Every time I do it, I smile. So it brings smile on my face. My anxiety is gone now, you know. I think with so much happening in my life at that point, I was able to, do better what I would have done without practicing that breathing. So yeah, it was a great experience, and I actually got it from a book. Yeah. So it is awesome. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up. So we just talked about sleep, and that relaxation piece is the next piece that's very important to our wellness.
Okay.
So being able to slow down, like you just told us,
okay.
and being able to be present in this moment. So when the anxiety goes, we're going up here, we're sometimes going a mile a minute. Mm-hmm. What if that happens? What if that happens?
Yeah.
I'm not good enough comes up a lot for a lot of us.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Yeah. So maybe flipping that and being like, I am good enough, and saying that to ourselves as we're practicing the breathing and being in this moment, because all of that anxiety up there, it's disturbing our peace with ourselves.
That's very strong. You're right. You know, so I'm going to just re-say what you said. So sleep is very important. You know, breathing is very important. Self-care and talking to yourself and telling yourself when you're having negative thoughts that you're not good enough, that actually you are good enough, and saying that. And, you know, I think that's so true. You know, thank you so much for sharing that.
And the next piece, there's a few more pieces here.
Okay.
So nutrition, what's going on with nutrition?
Okay.
When we're in moments of stress, like this pandemic, we reach for sugar.
Yes.
We reach for processed.
I'm the guilty one here. Yeah.
Me too. It happens to all of us.
Mm.
I'm a lot of overtime right now, and carbs, processed carbs and refined white carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in our gut bacteria is it starts to send signals up to our brain, craving more of that type of food. So there's a direct impact now with what we're putting in our bodies.
Okay. So would you highly recommend home-cooked food?
Absolutely.
Okay. More greens?
Yes.
Okay.
And proteins, like you're eating, what do you eat, dard or... the lentils, whatever you use for proteins, your vegetables. And water is another that a lot of people forget, and they're drinking pop, or they're drinking a lot of tea in the day, and they're not hydrating. This is all going to impact what's going on up here.
My girlfriend's going to have a giggle when she listens to this piece, because I actually tend to drink. I used to drink a lot of pop, and now she doesn't, you know, she wants me to stop. And thanks to her that I've been able to cut it down now. And you know what? You're absolutely right. So since this has started, I have actually not eaten out, not even a single time. What we have been doing is we have been cooking a lot ourselves. So pizzas, we try pizza because that's something everyone craves a lot. And apparently it was very good. And then we tried some Indian dishes. And I think slowly and steadily, if you know a bit of basic cooking, you can always, you know, saute some veggies and, you know, add some proteins, as you said, dal or cheese or paneer, to make it healthy enough to kind of have that, you know, help that with the immunity, but also lower down that craving, as you mentioned, because yes, you do get a lot of craving. Yeah.
Okay. And now another pillar of wellness is movement.
Movement. Okay.
A lot of people are like, oh, the word exercise scares them or something. Yeah. But we need movement for our mental wellness and our physical wellness.
Highly recommend it, yeah.
Yeah, I remember you were talking about nature and walks. Maybe you can tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so for me, you know, as I said, pop, food goes to my girlfriend. Nature, walks, again, goes to her. She's the queen. What I've been doing, and thanks to her again, we have been going for running every day.
Wow,
We found, I'm not going to tell where, we don't want anyone else to be there. It's empty. So we found a space where it's grass. We don't want to run on the road. One, it's not safe. Second, it's just not good for your knees. That's what, you know, I have felt in, I've experienced in my past. So we found this green patch. And what we do is it's as big as a soccer ground. And we do 5 rounds. So, you know, we started with 5 rounds and our target is to touch 10 by the end of this month, or let's say mid of next month. And on the weekends, what we do is we do long walks. So today we did 4 kilometers. So I think it was 11,000 steps today. So the target is to have 6,000 steps every day. And weekends, we just give ourselves a bit of a break from running and we go out and, you know, we went for, and there are actually a lot of trails which are not that busy. People are very cautious with the social distancing, and they have been doing it very well. I'll be very honest. We never had anybody who would not follow the rules or who would be, you know, ignorant about this specific situation. So I highly, highly recommend, as you mentioned, movement, you know, go for runs or go for long walks, whatever works for you. Have a target, do 6,000, 5,000 steps. So we started with 3,000 steps. Yeah. Then we are at 6,000 now. I slowly raise it. And it's been going really good for us, and, you know, keeps ourselves sane. You know, though I think everyone, isolation does catch you at a certain point. You know, we snap at all, you know, we snap at each other all the time. So I think, and that's what helps you, this, you know, running and going out in nature helps you with that a lot. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I'm glad that you brought that up. I definitely hear the gratitude and appreciation you have for your girlfriend, and
that's she's awesome. Amazing.
Yeah,
she's
to
all,
hear.
She's sitting right here by the top of it. Yeah,
and so YouTube is another place. There's Zumba or dance, yoga. You're not, you know, a beginner. There's actually even like 10-minute yoga videos you can look up.
And I think it's funny that, you know, we are from India. That's where yoga was, you know, that's where yoga was, or that's where it originated. So absolutely, we should be doing it every day. Yeah. I come from a school where yoga was compulsory. And we used to have Saturday classes, which were boring, I'll be very honest. But, you know, last year we did join a yoga session for a month, and I was actually able to do some of the chakras, which I learned when I was a kid. So, and you're right, it is such a good way to make your lungs work, you know, make your boost up your immunity. And with those greens and proteins you're adding in your diet, this is definitely going to help. Absolutely. I completely agree. Mm-hmm.
The pillars of things we do for ourselves, but you were speaking about how isolating this is.
Yeah.
So let's reach out. Let's reach out to our families. Let's reach out to our friends. Mm-hmm. And what have you been doing to stay connected?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been constantly in touch with my friends, and this is that time I've actually texted all my friends. I lived in UK for a while, so I've actually texted friends from UK, back in India, my school friends, and you know, even their parents as well. So it was my uncle's birthday today, so I called him in the morning. So what I've been doing is I've been constantly, if I cannot do FaceTime, I definitely send them a text or WhatsApp, you know, making sure that they hear from you. You know, I made a family group where we all are connected now. So somebody keeps sending something, and then it gives you that moment of the day where you feel happy about that. Everyone is safe, and you feel, you know,
it is.
And you see, you know that your parents are in good shape, and they're safe, right? So I highly recommend, as you mentioned, you know, reaching out to parents every day. Maybe just send them a text if you cannot call them. We are 12 hours apart, and I get it that a lot of parents do tend to sleep early back in India, you know, and by the time we are free at night, they're already doing their own thing and you want to go for sleep. But sending a text usually takes less than a minute. So send some texts, you know, say, hi, how are you? And, you know, let them know that you're doing fine and what your day looked like. And
And imagine they're really worried too. From the students. Is your family back in India as well?
Yeah, that's right. My parents are still back in India. That's right. And they are worried. Yeah. Every time I call them, my mother keeps repeating, don't go out. Don't go out. Like, she says it 10 times in that 1 minute. And I get it. And I do the same. When I talk to them, I tell them, do not go out. You know, though India is in lockdown, but please don't go out, even for the smallest thing. You know, maybe tell somebody that they can bring it to you, or, you know, order it online, or do something that you do not have to step out of the house. Mm-hmm.
Groceries, we can order them online.
Got it. Yeah, even in India, you know, all the stores in India are now doing deliveries, so, which is good. And you know, I can't speak on, you know, what's happening in smaller towns and smaller villages, but if it's a, you know, suburban town or it's a smaller suburb, you can still find somebody who can deliver to your house. So absolutely. And even here, you know, we have been very careful with when we go out for shopping or grocery, have our mask on, have our gloves on, keep that sanitizer in your pocket, make sure you clean your hand, clean your cart, you know, whatever groceries you're bringing in the home, we make sure that we actually sanitize them again with a Lysol wipe or something. So, you know, keeping that, you know, one of the things my brother was saying, and I'm bringing in while we were talking about how to stay connected, is, you know, this is time for us to know where our hands are going. What are you touching? And are they going back to your face? Because we are so used to doing this. And I'm an example. I used to touch my mustache quite a bit. And now it's been last 3 months, I've learned so well that I'm keeping my hands in my pocket. Even though I know that I've not touched anything, I still don't touch it until I come back home, properly wash my hand for 20 seconds, and then touch my face. So I think it's very important for us to know what's happening around us.
Yes, so having that awareness and maybe being a little bit vigilant about, mm-hmm. you know, what we're touching and keeping our hands washed.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me a bit more about how are you doing? What have you been doing? I know you're working.
Yeah, so I'm working a lot.
Thanks for your service. You know, you guys are doing a great job. My brother is a doctor, so he's on frontline as well. So thank you for all the service. But when you come home, so is it more meditation, or is it, you know, connecting back to your family, or do you live with your family?
I have two dogs.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm constantly having to go out in nature, and that's what's keeping me sane, because I'm working up to 60 hours a week right now. Just connecting with that nature, and my dogs aren't super friendly with other dogs, so we always keep the distance anyway. So I'm used to that. But like you're saying, going out, it's really restorative for our minds, it's great for our cognition. Mm-hmm. And it just helps us relieve that stress. I mean, you can go on Google Scholar, there's tons of articles about the benefits of nature. That's kind of what's keeping me sane.
That's awesome, Jesse. Yeah. You know what? It's a pleasure talking to you today. So it's a start of a friendship. So we'll keep connecting. You know, I'm going to post this on my social media and then get back to you and see what students have question. And maybe, you know, next time we can involve students as well. Maybe if there is somebody who have questions, we can do a conference call and see what are their issues, because I'm past that time but maybe there are new issues now. Maybe something new has showed up, you know, with one of the things I've noticed, and maybe we can discuss it in our second video call, is losing their jobs because of, you know, businesses being shut down. So I think maybe we can connect with somebody who is going through this time. And I'm maybe a girl and a boy, and see what are their issues and what are they doing. Are they even doing anything to cope up with it? Or if they are doing something, and I hope they are, what are they doing and how can we help them, right? So yeah, do you have anything to say before we end this?
I'm gonna give an anxiety resource, because all of this, it's uncertainty. It's, if we're losing our jobs, so much uncertainty, and it's scary.
That's true, yeah.
Anxiety is, it's, we're worried, we're in a state of fear, and we're all communally, we're globally in a state of fear. Mm-hmm. So, Canadian website.
Oh, okay.
Anxiety Canada. Can you read that?
Yeah. www.anxietycanada.com. Just like the words, AnxietyCanada.com. Okay, perfect.
Lots of modules. There's PDFs. I give them to clients. Deep breathing exercises, progressive muscle relaxation. There's so many resources on there.
No, thank you so much for that. That I think that added cherry on the top for the whole meeting. So yeah, again, thank you so much, Jesse. I will stay connected, you know, we will stay connected, and once I hear back from the people I'm connected with, and we can introduce them to you and see what we can do for them. Awesome. Stay safe.
So
take care. Yeah. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.